Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, as we are every weekday morning till 4 o'clock. Coming up, we're going to talk about some of the dumbest promotions in sports history. A couple of them took place here. And we got some of the best karaoke songs ever, and we want to find out what your go-to karaoke song is. And that's in honor of the stunning season finale of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, which I cried for an hour. Just an hour, so I just sat on the couch and cried for 60 minutes straight. Even during commercials, I was crying. Well, I didn't actually watch the commercials because it was on my DVR, so I cried for 48 minutes straight. We also, our classic Johnny Carson, you know, we play classic Johnny Carson back every morning at 2:30. You can watch the Johnny Carson show on Antenna TV every night, and you should, because it's awesome. And then we like to play a little piece, a little comedy, brighten up your morning, usually some stand-up. We play some sketches, some interviews. Richard Lewis from 1982, one of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time, still killing it on Curb Your Enthusiasm. The stuff between him and Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm is ridiculous. I've seen Richard Lewis like six times live. Love when he first hit the scene. Oh man, I just lost my mind. And of course, he starred on a sitcom with Jamie Lee Curtis. So there's that. I can't remember the name of it. Anything for Love, I think that's what it's called. Anyway, so we'll play back a little Richard Lewis. But right now, we have a monthly visit from our good friend Tom Appel. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He hosts the Car Stuff podcast. And you can follow him on Twitter @car_guy_Tom. @car_guy_Tom. If you have a question, call us. We want to talk to you on the phone at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And let's say hello to Tom. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you holding up?
I'm holding up pretty well. Thank you.
Okay. How's the family? Good?
The family is good. My daughter is bored out of her mind, but she's doing well.
I saw a picture of her that you took up. You guys were, was it, what kind of car was that that you guys were in with no roof?
Yeah, that is the new Jeep Gladiator Mojave. The Mojave is a sort of a desert runner kind of vehicle, but the roof panels are removable on the hardtop, so we did that on Sunday.
Yeah.
We had to go grocery shopping, so we kind of had to lower population areas out west, but it was fun.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. So, first of all, tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, we are Consumer Guide Automotive. We've been around since 1967. We publish new car and used car reviews at consumerguide.com. If you're not looking for a new car, still go there because you can check out our blog and now our podcasts. And our podcasts are available on every platform, too, so you can go to Apple or iTunes or anything like that.
Very, very, very cool. Very cool. Again, if you have some concerns or questions, you want to get a car or you need some advice or you just have a car problem that Tom can help you with, we'll take phone calls here, 312-981-7200. So we'll take phone calls, talk to you on the air, 312-981-7200. Call in now. Tom, we always ask you, what have you been driving? Are you still going out and driving?
I am, yeah. We are still managing to stay in cars as socially distant as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still driving stuff. Yeah, right now I'm in the Nissan Titan, which is Nissan's attempt to get into the big truck market. So I'm driving that right now. I'm driving a fully loaded version of that vehicle. And it's interesting because it's probably competitive, but the market has just shunned this vehicle.
Really?
Yeah, it's just so hard to crack the big truck market. It's really just belongs to Ford, Chevy, GMC, and Ram.
Mm-hmm.
And Toyota has a little chunk of it that it does very well with, but no one else is really going to be able to crack that. That said, this is a roomy vehicle. It's quick. It's not quite as feature-packed as some of the other vehicles, but... Yeah, we'll see where it goes with this and if Nissan continues to invest money in this segment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And besides that, what else have you been driving in the past month?
I just drove the Kia Niro. The Kia Niro is available as a hybrid, a plug-in hybrid, and as a pure electric vehicle. I drove the electric vehicle, and I'm always very pleasantly surprised by that. It's a little bit anonymous looking, but it's really roomy, and it's fun to drive in electric form, and it's got a range of about 260 miles, which is pretty good for a vehicle that comes in. You can do one comfortably under $40,000.
Is it wrong that I think that naming a car Niro is weird? I mean,
It's super weird. It is spelled N-I-R-O.
Oh, okay.
But I think the connotations are still there, and it is weird.
Yeah, well, as soon as you said it, I was like, who came up with that name?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, very strange. That's another thing that we've talked about before in the past. It's come up a lot when you're on the show, Tom. It's like, who names these cars? Where do the names come from?
I don't know. There was a time where GM, General Motors was selling two vehicles called Sierra at the same time. There was the GMC pickup, and then there was an Oldsmobile sedan. They were spelled differently, but it seems strange that they would have two vehicles pronounced the same that were so different.
Yeah, yeah. I think I recall that. I think I recall that. What else has been you guys around the office been driving?
What else have we had through there recently? We have, and we love having these through the office, the Ram. We were just talking about big pickups. We have a Ram 1500 Laramie through the office right now, and this is one of those vehicles that is just evidence that people will spend a lot of money on pickups. And the Laramie that we're driving came to $60,000 on the window sticker.
Oh, my God.
Which seems insane, but it is equipped up to $60,000. You can still buy a full-size Ram a little bit under 40 if you try. But, yeah, this has just got a beautiful interior and an interesting trim and decor package and just a gorgeous luxury-level interior. It's just a very strange thing to see how expensive and how luxurious pickup trucks have gotten.
Yeah.
But Ram really has the market nailed.
Yeah. You were talking about that a little bit earlier. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And is there a really big market for pickup trucks?
Yeah. It remains huge. It's about 2.5 million units a year.
Wow.
That was pre-coronavirus, obviously. We'll see where that goes.
Right.
But I think that the demand for pickups isn't going to change very much once the smoke clears.
Yeah. Okay. Tom, hold on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us. Call us up. We want to talk to you. If you've got a question or a concern, or if you're looking to buy a car, you got a car problem, 312-981-7200. We're taking phone calls. 312-981-7200. Tom Appel is with us, and we'll get back to the conversation after this. Yeah, man. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio here until 4 a.m. on WGN. Tom Appel joins us every month, publisher of the Consumer Guide Automotive, and host of the Car Stuff podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Tom, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about the Car Stuff podcast. How often do you do it, and when can people listen to it?
Yeah, thank you. I'm really enjoying doing this. We just did our 27th episode of the Car Stuff podcast. We record on Thursdays. We usually have the podcast available for people to download late on Friday.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, it just depends. We have to process that and get that all together. But, yeah, it's usually late Friday. It's always available by Saturday morning.
It's always available by Saturday morning, late on Friday. And you can just go to the website and get it.
You get there, or you can get it any podcast platform.
Any podcast. There you go. So you're enjoying doing that, huh?
Yeah, I really am. Yeah, I've learned it's hard to host. It's easier to be a guest than a host. I learned that. but we're getting great guests, so we're having some really great conversations. And I always give my co-host a really, really hard quiz late in the episode, so that's fun, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Okay. All right. Just wanted to ask you about that. Let's see. Here's a question already from, we got BA here. Go ahead, BA.
Hi. I would like to know what Tom's first car was and the story about how he got it.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great question. All right, Tom.
I was a 69 Chevelle and someone was going to junk it.
69 Chevelle. That was your first car, huh?
Yeah. I got it for $60.
$60.
Wow.
Man. All right. What about you, Tom?
Yeah, my first car that I bought on my own that had nothing to do with family or hand-me-down or anything like that was a 1985 Volkswagen Scirocco, which is a car I desperately wanted. Beautiful car. If you know about the car, you know that it's basically a Volkswagen Golf with custom bodywork.
Yeah.
Actually assembled by Magna Steyr in Austria, but it was kind of this kind of exotic looking car with very conventional mechanicals. So that was $6,000 when I bought it in like 1988.
Okay. All right. Thank you, BA. That was a great question. Great question. First car that I had that I bought with my own money was we talked about this car many times, 77 Firebird.
Yeah.
Which spent more time in the garage or in the in the shop than it did on the road. I can tell you that much. But the first one that I ever bought, like, because that was a car that was a friend's car, but I did buy it.
Okay.
But that was like a friend's car, so we knew who it was. You know, it was kind of like a handed over to us, but we did buy it. But the first car that I actually went to a dealership and bought was an 86 Ford Escort, which I've talked about before. The 86 Ford Escort. Let me tell you something, Tom. You want to pick up chicks? Get yourself an 86 Ford Escort.
Ironically, I dated a girl with an 86 Escort.
Is that right?
So she picked me up, I guess.
Wait, what color was it?
It was white.
Oh.
White like some strange black trim. I can't exactly explain what the black trim was all about.
Mine was gray.
Okay.
Mine was gray, but it was an 86 Ford Escort, and I drove that thing into the... I've driven all my cars into the ground. So, but yeah, that's a good question, though, asking people what their first... Tom, what was your first car?
Oh, well, I've never actually bought my own car.
Oh, okay, but so, you've had it handed down to you.
Yeah, the first car I ever drove was my mom's 2000... I think it was a 2009 Volvo XC90.
Okay.
So SUV, very safe. Gas mileage was terrible.
Of course.
And when I was in high school, gas prices were like astronomically high.
Yeah.
I remember it used to cost me like at least $55 to $60 just to fill up the gallon,
good.
Fill up the tank.
Oh, God.
It was terrible, but I loved driving.
Yeah.
So I just had a scheme where I would drive everywhere and people would help pay for my gas. I'd just be like, you better show up with like at least a fiver in hand. Otherwise, you're not getting in this car.
Yeah. The first car I ever drove. What was the first car I ever drove? Was it a Toyota Celica? I think it was a Toyota Celica. That was the first car I ever drove. What are you laughing about?
No.
Is there something funny about a Toyota Celica?
I like the name. I just like that name. And I can't get the image out of my head of someone, you know, coming around picking up Tom Appel in a sweet Ford Escort.
Yeah.
Man, Tom, he must have been a man about town, hot to trot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. God, Ford Escort. I'm telling you, that car, you know where that car ended up, Tom?
Victory?
Yes, sir. I believe I got $20 for it or something. I can't remember.
Excellent.
Yeah, and you know what? Like in the commercial, they hand you cash. That's not how it works. I got to check.
Oh,
I got to check.
That's very misleading.
Did Dean give you the check?
No,
it was not Dean Richards.
No, I made the tow truck driver mad because I said, "Hey, where's your leather your big leather wristband?" You know, because in the commercial, the guy has the big leather wristband.
Yeah.
And I said, "Hey, you got a big leather wristband?" And I said, "Hey, don't worry about this. When I open the car, the door won't fall off. I promise." And it's like. Like, these guys have never heard this before. Like, guys who drive for Victory Auto Records have never heard this stupid, you know, and I'm thinking I'm Mr. Original, you know?
it is one of the most essential parts of being a kid in Chicago is remembering that commercial.
No question about it.
And why was that running during Gilligan's Island?
I don't know. It still runs. And by the way, Dean Richards does the voiceover for it. You remember when they tried?
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah, Dean Richards does the voiceover for it. We actually, you know, they buy time here on the show. We play the audio version of it on the show. But remember when they tried to be animated and have the dinosaur?
I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, you can't change the Victory Auto Record commercial.
No.
They used like really cheesy animation and had a dinosaur pick up a car and crush it.
Oh, I do remember that. I absolutely remember
that.
So
stupid.
Now, was that 310 or 610 East Green in Bensonville?
610, I believe.
610, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Here's Mark on WGN. Hi, Mark.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
I do have a question. It's kind of a trick question. Answer me one question, and what is the most important part of any car, any vehicle on the roadway?
Most important part, Tom? Can you narrow it down?
Wow, the single most important part? Brakes, steering wheel? I don't know where this is going.
Those are two.
My answer is the most important of any vehicle on the roadway is the driver.
Oh, okay. Look at this guy. Very all good, right. Mark. Very, very good. All right. Thanks, Mark. It's the driver. You see that? See what he did there, Tom?
I could see the argument.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, got a news story here. Car ownership could surge as Americans are shunning mass transit and ride sharing. Tell me about this.
There is a lot of conversations going on right now about this, and I think that most of them are premature, but they're really compelling arguments that suggest, and research that suggests, that people are going to come out of the virus and want to buy their own cars.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do anything with ride-sharing or ride-hailing. They're not going to ride on public transportation because everyone's going to be afraid of this happening again.
Yep.
Or because when we clear this, we're not really going to be clear anyway, because they're talking about 18 months still perfectly clear, so the virus is still going to be around. So
right.
The safest, cleanest place you could possibly be is your own car. Now, the thing that works against that slightly is that a lot of people have gotten used to working at home, and a lot of employers now see that working from home probably works. So that could soften demand for vehicles somewhat.
That's true.
So it's hard to know where this is going to fall and how scared people are really going to be after the fact. But it is likely that people are going to shun things like Uber and Lyft and public transportation.
I'll tell you this, Tom. They're doing that already because you know, I ride in from on the Kennedy on the way home, and so the blue line runs on the Kennedy empty all the time. There's very rarely any people on those trains, man. You know, it's and buses. Buses go by, one person on there with a mask on, just sitting in the back. You know,
I'm seeing the exact same thing. I ride from Palatine to Morton Grove. That's my commute, and
yeah.
I've been going into the office because I'm the only person in the office. And along that route, I pass the Northwestern Metro line.
Right.
And those trains are empty.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I live right across the street from an L stop.
Okay.
And it's like a dust bowl. There's like nothing happening. So, you know, everything is taking a hit. And I realize that, you know, we are advised to stay home, but, you know, and we're told to stay home. But yeah, I mean, I'll look out the window right across the street and there's like no foot traffic or anything happening. I mean, I can hear the trains going by, and I assume they're not full at all. But yeah, I mean, there's no foot traffic across the street from where I live.
But to your point, I think that actual road traffic has not declined nearly as much as what appears to be the traffic on public transportation.
Yeah, no, there's still a good amount of people out on the road. Which I'm kind of surprised by. You know, I realize that some people are essentials and they have to go into work. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that does. But people are going out groceries and, you know, getting groceries and doing that kind of stuff. And maybe just going out for a drive. Maybe you just want to get out and go out for a drive if you like to drive and you're stuck in the house, you know?
Yeah, and I'm seeing a lot of that on the weekend, too. I'm surprised by how many people are like Walmart.
Yeah.
Or Jewel. They're just packed.
Yeah. No, yeah, my dad works at Jewel. You know, full mask, full gloves, doing the whole thing. And he says that business is really, really busy. A lot of people are coming in. So, okay, Tom, hang on, all right?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is here. We got a lot more car stories to talk about. And we'll take your phone calls here. We want to talk to you on the air. 312-981-7200 if you have a question or some advice from Tom. We'll give it to you, 312-981-7200.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
Willie.
On the road again.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about the dumbest promotions in sports history and some of the best karaoke songs. And what's your go-to karaoke song? And that's in honor of the magnificent season finale of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. So good. Tom Appel is with us, Consumer Guide Automotive. He jumps into here once a month and answers your questions and talks about some of the latest in car news. So get this, Tom.
Yep.
This is Dan, and he's in Jerusalem. Are you seriously? Are you in Jerusalem, Dan?
Yes, I am. I have a business in Jerusalem and a business in Lake County. So I on a good year, I go back and forth about 5-6 times a year.
Wow, that's amazing. How are you listening? How are you listening to us via the internet?
I'm in my car and I'm listening to you guys online.
Okay, what's it like? What's it like in Jerusalem right now during what's going on in the world?
Actually, Israel was the first country to shut down air travel to and from the Far East, and we're just getting out of, they're just relaxing the sanctions now, like opening up malls and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. Well, best of luck, and thank you so much for calling all the way from Jerusalem. This is amazing, amazing.
Well, also, my first car, which I kind of took over from my father in 75 when I was a junior in high school, with a 70 Dodge Charger.
Oh, nice car. Nice car.
So that was kind of a, I'm talking to my wife. It was kind of a chick magnet during high school.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. Let me ask you this, Dan. You said you're out driving right now in Jerusalem. What are you driving right now? What car?
Unfortunately, a Kia. What the hell am I driving? Something that's not really memorable.
Clearly. Wow. All right.
Nothing like the Dodge Charger to pick up ladies and do neutral drops and beat any car in the parking lot.
Yeah, no, those are great car. Hey, Dan, thank you, man. Thank you for listening all the way from Jerusalem. We really appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
All right, you too. That's amazing.
The guy
calls from Jerusalem and he's driving a Kia. Was he? Did he say he said a Kia? But was it a Kia he's driving?
It had to be Kia. And I think Kia does have a presence in the Far East. So
they do.
Sense.
Okay, there it is. All right. That was a fun call. Here's David on WGN. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is, last time he was out, he was talking about you got to drive a vehicle more than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I only live 15, 20 minutes from my work, and I've gone through a lot of transmissions.
Mm.
So what kind of car should I be looking for?
I'm not sure short drives are going to affect transmission life too much. Short drives usually affect things like mufflers and exhaust systems because the car doesn't get hot enough to get rid of the fluid that accumulates and those rust through.
Yeah.
But for short, I don't know that there's a better vehicle for short hauls than another vehicle, unfortunately. I think all vehicles just enjoy being warmed up and driven in a warm condition for a while.
Yeah.
But I can't think of a car that would be better at short hops than another.
Yeah. Just if you're going to do a short hop, maybe let the car warm up a little bit. Would that be good?
That would be good.
Yeah. So do that. Then you have a longer lifespan with your car. Is the transmission the most expensive thing to repair in a car, Tom?
Unless you have to replace the whole engine, probably. Transmissions are really complicated, expensive things now.
Yeah.
And they're difficult to remove.
Yeah. I had to, my 77 Firebird?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had to have one of those replaced.
Oh.
Yeah, it was. I can't believe how much money that I had to spend. How much money I spent on that car. Good Lord. Here's Sheila on WGN. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, just wanted to ask a quick question. Could he give us kind of like an idea or a list or maybe the five best cars?
That are out here right now?
Yeah, that are out here to get the best mileage for people that are looking like me.
What are some great, Tom, give us a few of the great cars out there that people should be looking at.
I have a couple of personal favorites. They're also probably Consumer Guide Best Buy picks in most cases. I love the Honda Accord. Big fan of that vehicle. Good mileage, great space for four people, fun to drive, great on the highway. If you're looking for something smaller, I'm a big fan of the new Toyota Corolla. Forget anything you knew about Corollas. The new Corolla is much more fun to drive. Not a lot of rear seat space, but affordable and great fuel economy. Mm-hmm. Very nicely put together. The new Toyota Highlander, that's brand new. I really like that vehicle. That's a great 5-passenger or 7-passenger crossover. Love that one a lot.
By the way, Tom, my producer Tom is you driving a Accord, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because I started driving. I usually take the bus, but you know, take precautions. Yeah. Driving to work.
Driving to work. Yeah.
And you know, I was in a similar situation in David. My commute is maybe 15-20 minutes because I'm right in uptown.
Yeah.
Really easy to get here. But I love the Accord, and I'm a tall guy. I'm a big guy, and it is so roomy. I can't even believe it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Every time, you know, Tom, that is consistently brought up when people are asked about what a great car. The Honda Accord comes up all the time.
Yeah, it's just a spectacularly good car and reliable, and the resale value is extraordinary too.
Yeah. Okay. What? Give Sheila one more here.
If I was going to go with a small crossover, I like the Honda. I'm sorry. This is. Let me try again. The Subaru Outback.
Okay.
I sort of haven't been a fan in previous generations, but the new one is an extraordinarily nice vehicle. It is roomy. It's a wagon. It's got that off-roady thing going on. But that's a great car with phenomenal resale value.
Okay. There you go. Sheila, thanks for the call. Hope that helps you out. Tom, as we, you know, as we start to open things up again, you know, as we get past this, there's an article here about automakers adjusting to a new normal because they're going to reopen some of the plants. Tell us about how that's going to work out.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting experiment, and I think it depends a lot on the factory that we're talking about. I recently toured Toyota's Princeton, Indiana factory, which is fairly modern and fairly new. It's not new, but it's fairly modern. And the way that's laid out, they probably have the space to make the social distancing thing work. One of the things that's going to face them is that the way they lay out their shifts and their schedule for the week, all the employees dine at the same time. They won't be able to do that after this. So that's an interesting problem. At smaller factories or older factories with slightly more congested build floors, I think you're going to have a hard time getting people 6 feet apart. So that'll be a big challenge for them. And
right.
Then there is the thing with shift changes where you have 2,500 people or 3,500 people leaving at the same time.
Right.
These are big factories with a lot of employees, and they're going to have to leave slowly and distance themselves. So I don't know how this is all going to work, but I suspect that it can be made to work, and some factories are going to be much more easy to convert to this than others.
Yeah. Wow. It's just, you know, this is just such a strange time, you know?
It is.
It's such a strange time that you even think that you'd have to, you know, worry about people leaving a factory when they're working. So
yeah. And keeping their masks on while they walk out to their cars and
right.
until they get into their cars.
Right. Right, right, right. You know, this building now, when you enter the building and take the elevator, they put into effect just this past week that we have to have masks on when we're in the lobby or when we're in the elevator, you know, in the hallway until we get into our office. If you want to take them off then, you can take them off then, or just leave them on if you don't feel like it. But that's a new thing. So, you know, the guards downstairs, all wearing masks. I wear a mask when I come in, get in the elevator, come up. So it's just the new norm, man. It's just the new norm. And we weren't required to wear it until that. Was it Friday, Tom, when they put that into effect? It was Friday, right?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Friday,
May 1st. Yeah, the statewide.
Yeah. So there it is. It's really interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens at these with these plants reopening. How about this? We're probably going to hit another recession. There's no question about that. After this, and the automakers got a bailout at the last recession. What's going to happen this time around?
That is a very good question. Most automakers and the American automakers were in better shape this time around. They had cash on hand. They raised cash a little bit beforehand. They're burning through cash very quickly, and they want to get things up and running, and they may need something or may try to get something from the government. What's different this time about last time, we had the Cash for Clunkers program.
Oh, right. Right, right,
and
right.
That was pretty effective in driving car sales, but it rewarded people swapping cars that were inefficient for cars that were efficient. And it seems extremely unlikely to me that the Trump administration would ever implement a similar plan simply because they're not really big fans of making cars more efficient. So any plan now would probably be based purely on sales, and there would be some sort of government incentive, perhaps, to encourage people to buy cars. But the balance there gets a little bit weird because then you just end up with a lot of used cars, and there may not be a market for those. and I don't know if destroying cars is in the cards this time. So I don't know what this would look like if there was another bailout program.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. Obviously, yeah. we're keeping an eye on all of this stuff in this unprecedented time. So, hey, here's a great thing. Car shopping tips, test drive checklist. Let's go through that, Tom.
Yeah. So this is actually a list that I found. I'm just going to be honest with you right now, Nick. Yeah. We were looking through my computer for something we could publish quickly, and we found our old test drive list. And this is something that we actually shared at the office, and we wanted to make sure that everyone at the office used the exact same criteria, and they could go beyond that if they wanted to. But these are the things that we look at most.
Okay, well, go ahead. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So, just expanding my list here a little bit.
Okay.
But we start with powertrain or acceleration, and when you're measuring power, when you go out for a test drive, you should measure power or acceleration from a stop, or from a cruising speed. You should try to merge on the highway if you can, and if you care about this sort of thing, and some people don't, pay attention to transmission behavior, because if your transmission shifts funny, it's going to do that for the next 6 or 7 years that you own it. So,
yeah, so
be sure you can live with the way that feels.
Okay. All right. What's
now,
next?
Now fuel economy is not something that you can measure yourself, but you can look at the EPA numbers or visit a site like Consumer Guide or Cars.com and see what kind of mileage they got. So you can measure fuel economy on the whole. You can compare it to other vehicles in the class. And you can also make, this is really important now, determine if the vehicle requires premium, because premium is so much more expensive than regular gas now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dollar a gallon more.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's brutal.
Oh, man. Okay. What's next?
Ride quality.
Okay.
And this is a big one. And I think that when people go on a test drive and they get excited and they're driving a car around, they don't really pay attention to this. So the thing to do is you want to make sure that the ride is comfortable to you, that you are okay if it feels floaty or firm, because a lot of vehicles these days, especially with giant wheels and tires, can be a little bit firm. You can feel a lot of things in the road. That doesn't mean that it's jarring or rough, but it can be firm. So those are things to notice. And this is really important. Be sure you drive the exact same version of the vehicle you're going to buy, because suspension setups and wheel and tire sizes change by trim level.
Oh, okay.
So a less expensive version of a car might ride a lot better than a more expensive version.
Okay. Those are great tips. Tom, hang on.
Will do.
All right. Tom Appel is with us. He joins us once a month, and you can check him out at car_guy_Tom.
There are people in this country who work hard every day. Not for fame or fortune do they strive, but the fruits of their labor are worth more than their pay, and it's time a few of them were recognized. Hello, Detroit auto worker, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line.
That's right. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here till 4 a.m. We've got some classic comedy from Johnny Carson, which we play every morning at 2:30. Richard Lewis from 1982 is going to do a little set for us. We're also going to talk about the dumbest promotions in sports history and the best karaoke songs of all time and your favorite karaoke go-to in honor of the incredible season finale of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Tom Appel is with us for his monthly visit. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. We have another question. Here's Bob on WGN. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah.
My question is, I understand Lexus has the drive motors in each wheel instead on board. I just wonder what other brand of electric cars has the drive motors in the wheels.
I don't think that that has happened yet on a production vehicle, but for people who don't know what we're talking about hub motors, which is a very convenient and affordable way to design a vehicle where the electric motors are not in the car like an engine might be, but at the wheels themselves, or located literally inside the wheel. This is good for effective four-wheel drive applications. It can reduce weight. It can reduce complexity. But I'm not aware right now that there's any production consumer product with hub motors yet.
Lexus has it.
What, pardon me?
Production car.
What Lexus does that some people do for four-wheel drive systems is they'll have a gasoline engine that may power the front wheels, and then the electric motor will be moved back and power the rear wheels. So there is no no drive shaft. The electric motor operates completely.
Right, no drive shaft.
But no drive shaft, yeah. But it's not a hub motor yet. It's a motor located more towards where the axle might be.
Okay. All right, Bob, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Well, I'm just going to read this headline. The Nova and the Pistachio Shake, how my dad's Chevy betrayed me.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, this is a very old story, and it makes my dad chuckle. And I don't know if he remembers this story exactly, but 1973, the summer of 73, my family moved from Chicago to Palatine, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and we did a lot of driving back and forth, and we did a lot of that on Northwest Highway.
Yeah, sure.
Now, on Northwest Highway, and I think it was at Mount Prospect or Des Plaines, there was an ice cream shop called Carvel's.
Mm-hmm.
The building is still there. But it's a Mexican restaurant right now. But
okay.
The thing about Carvel was it was pretty darn awesome.
Yeah.
Now, the story here is interesting. My dad and I were driving his green Nova back from Chicago to Palatine, and we stopped at Carvel. And my dad wanted me to order a small ice cream cone, but instead I insisted on a large pistachio shake. I had no clue what pistachio was, but it was green and it looked good.
Yeah.
So I wanted that. My dad just gave in because he was tired of arguing with me, but I took one sip as we got back in the car, and I hated it. It was awful, and I had like a quart of it. I just had this giant styrofoam cup. So I realized as we were driving that he wasn't paying attention to what I was doing, so I slowly poured it out the window. And I did this because I didn't want him to know. I didn't want to admit that he was right, and I didn't like this thing.
Yeah.
So long story short, we get home, we're in the driveway in Palatine, my dad gets out of the car, comes around to my side of the car and goes, I guess you like the shake. And I get out and look, and there's just shake, green shake, almost the same color as the car, spattered along the full length of the car. Any other man would have made me wash the car, but my dad just led me to sulk into the house in shame.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's so funny. That is hilarious. Do you like pistachios now, Tom?
I like pistachios. I don't think I like pistachio ice cream. It might be a psychological thing, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of both. I'm a fan of. I love pistachio ice cream. I don't think I've ever had a pistachio shake. I know I've had a pistachio ice cream though.
Yeah, I don't recommend it.
clearly, you poured it out all over the side of the car. Oh, man. All right. Now, I always love when you guys sift through old pictures of cars and old ads and stuff. Velour Madness is what this is called. It's an ad gallery featuring classic auto interiors. First of all, where do you guys find this stuff?
We have a vast collection of magazines at the office that we claim we need to produce collectible automobile magazine, but mostly it's just fun to flip through them.
Yeah, well, a lot of these are just let's. What are some of your favorite? Well, first of all, we have to acknowledge Ricardo Montalban.
We do, yeah. and the apparent controversy here in that he's the man that brought us Corinthian leather.
That's right,
but he's sitting on velour here.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And our guy at the office, Damon Bell, refers to this interior as violently tufted.
Well, those commercials are obviously classic, the ones with Ricardo Montalban. I do love that one of the things that you wrote about it headline-wise is he played history's most memorable space villain. You always have to bring up Khan, don't you, Tom?
I do.
Well, I don't blame you, because it's one of the best, not just the best Star Trek movie ever made, but it's also one of the best science fiction movies ever made.
Oh, yeah. No argument for me on that.
Yep, I understand. All right, what about this one? The 1953 Kaiser.
I love this ad. One of the interesting things about cars before 1960 or so was that they changed so often design-wise, that there wasn't a lot of time or ad space that could be devoted to the interior. So when you can find an interior in an ad, it's always very exciting, and this is one of those. And if this looks like an 8 foot high, like an 8 foot tall person could sit in this car, no problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's a huge car.
Yeah, and the seats appear to be wicker on the sides and some sort of broadcloth on the center, but the two-tone treatment is pretty awesome.
It is pretty cool, but they look like couches.
Yeah.
The seats look like couches.
I don't know how you didn't slide around.
Yeah, no, seriously. There's no safety belts to be seen anywhere, obviously.
No.
No, you'd never have those. No, it was really funny. We were talking to one of our regular listeners who said he what was the story, Tom? It was Trucker Rich. He was talking about how he had a car, and he went to pick up the girl, and the parents were happy because what's the word I'm looking for here? The seats, the seats that aren't connected.
Oh, buckets, yeah.
Yeah, bucket seats.
Bucket seats, that's
right,
it.
Right. He said the they were all thrilled because they had he had bucket seats in the car. They couldn't take advantage of their daughter. All right, some of the other interiors. Let's go, let's move up to the... the 79 Royal Brougham.
Oh,
oh my God! Look at the inside of that car.
That is fabulous.
Oh,
that is that. I don't even. Yeah,
you don't even.
That's the least sporty thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. Of course, the Gremlin, the 1972 Gremlin is featured here.
This one's interesting, too. This one's got the buckets, so that's cool.
Right.
It mentions the Levi interior, but I don't believe it's depicting the Levi interior.
That does not look like Levi material to me. That looks like plastic or vinyl, yeah.
Yeah, plastic's a good word for it. Yeah.
How about the Nova?
The Nova's a weird one because this is a one-year, two-year model called the Nova Concours, which was a strange attempt by Chevy to peddle the Nova as a luxury vehicle.
What?
Yeah, this is a very weird car. And in fact, the ad, I believe, does not use the word Nova anywhere, which is strange.
Mm.
But that interior is kind of nice. It's got the fold-down armrest.
Yeah.
It looks like a nice, it's not velour exactly, but it looks like a nice cloth.
Yeah. And by the way, the 84... The 84 Chrysler Fifth Avenue, that's right there. There's Ricardo Montalban. And that's definitely not Corinthian leather.
No.
No. Without
question. That is not leather. That is one of the most Baroque vehicles ever built. It's got the carriage roof, the wire wheels, the white wall tires, and the pillow top seats.
I do love the ad for GM, the 1984 GM ad. Well, Leonardo da Vinci gave us a great idea for bucket seats.
I don't even know what this is about.
I don't either.
It's weird that General Motors would run an ad for General Motors. You think it would be for a division.
Right.
But here it is. Here's a car seat. And I suppose that this is kind of a high-endy thing. What year is this? 84. So this is probably ending up in redesigned Cadillacs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really tech. It looks kind of Star Trek, actually.
It does, yeah. And I'm going back again now to the 65 Ford Mustang. What a great ad.
That is a great ad, and it's interesting, too. I mean, the Mustang was so darn popular in those days.
Yeah.
And I guess they were just reaching out to everyone because this is clearly aimed at women.
Yeah.
You've got the light colors. You've got the white with the sort of yellow or light beige trim, and it's all about fashion. There's no discussion of performance here.
No, and also no men in the ad at all.
No.
It's just ladies. So, fun stuff, Tom. I always love those features that you guys do. It's just great stuff. And you can go to consumerguide.com to check out the pictures yourself and let it all sink in. Tom, stay safe, okay, buddy?
You too. Thank you.
Okay, man. And we will talk to you next month.
Looking forward to it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Tom Appel, he's awesome. Follow him at car_guy_Tom. Oh, and by the way, subscribe to the newsletter at Consumer Guide. Go to consumerguide.com, subscribe to the newsletter. All right, we'll be back.